Hey, it's Harrison Ford here, wanting to say thank you to all the Radio Labyrinth producers over at the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TimAndrews. So without further delay, Brett Perkins, thank you. Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom, John Sutherland, Keith Tate, Matt Carter, Mike D., Roby Neely, Sean Hall, and Todd Ellis. Thank you all very much for donating, and we'll see you in the skies.
So we're now recording, and that's how it works.
Oh, sweet.
Hit the button, and you record. Jeff, go back to being a woman.
You don't want people baiting to him. Well, maybe he does.
No baiting to Jeff. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast. It covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, as long as we like them, even books, sometimes comic books. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional semi-famous Atlanta radio personality. And joining me, as usual, this week are Jeff Leboff and Stephanie Swain.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. What's so funny?
creepy cousin Kathy over here.
Oh, Jeff, if you're watching the video, instead of listening to the podcast, you'll see Jeff is using some sort of face app feature to make himself look like a female. I believe Sasha Gray was one of the comments people said. When did you do that, Steph? Put all of us up on Instagram or Facebook?
No, that was Dustin.
Oh, Dustin did it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could thank him for that lovely. I mean, I got to look like the cool weed slinging hacky sack guy that's always in the quad with his bras.
Yeah, you look like one of those people that's in the Chaz right now.
It makes my computer fan real loud if I do it too long.
Oh.
I thought of that. So each and every week, guys, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by two sponsors. Two sponsors. I read them both to you right now. First sponsor, Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. Steph, you know Brett, don't you?
Not only do I know Brett, but Brett was at my house kicking it on Friday.
Sweet. So,
yeah.
What? You violated curfew to come to your house?
Well, he did. Repro printing all over the place.
He did. Yeah, he repro printed all over the house from one end to the other.
They'll print you so hard. They are Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Pardon me. I had a little frog in my throat. I gave Kermit a blowjob earlier. We are also brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro, who are now open for dine-in service. That's right. Go in, sit down, and eat. AP&G sanitizes tables between customers. And, you know, you can use, like, real forks and stuff now. So, and napkins. Atlanta Pizza and Euro still providing takeout and curbside service for those who prefer it and aren't chicken shits and won't go in and sit down. And you don't have to pay ahead of time. You can just visit their website, atlantapizzaeuro.com. Order online for pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank everyone who's been supportive through these times. For the restaurant industry, these tough times for the restaurant industry. We were out there. It was the first inside restaurant experience I have had since this all started.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. And, you know, they're such great hosts, Mike and Kim.
Oh, hell yeah.
The proprietors. And we get to see Eric Malmstrom. Yeah, we were
one of our awesome supporters. Yeah, Eric Malmstrom. We got to meet his wife and a bunch of people came out. So that was really nice. Nice to see everybody there.
Mike TV.
Mike TV was just half of Mike TV was there, which is weird because the other half of Mike TV lives in Conyers, Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He lives there and he wouldn't come?
Yeah, Dean. Yeah, I think he was busy. I found out about him. He does football play-by-play for the high school, I believe. And I hear he's pretty good. So I'm trying to get some audio of that so we can make fun of him.
All right.
Only to make fun of him. I don't want to celebrate any of his talents.
No, I don't either. But he does have talents. And speaking of his talents, you can hear him and Lisa Krause every week on the Mike TV podcast, which for an odd reason is going to come out a day later than Radio Labyrinth this week. But that's just the way that's the roll of the dice, as they say. As they say. You can follow Radio Labyrinth on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our Twitter account is @radio_labyrinth. And our Instagram is @RadioLabyrinth. And our Facebook is facebook.com/RadioLabyrinth. Right?
Yeah, it's very consistent.
It is very consistent. Steph, you do a good job with the social media stuff.
I barely do anything, but I appreciate your appreciation. I really do.
I think you do plenty. I think you do plenty.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So were you guys as scared as I was about being in a restaurant?
No.
No?
No, not nearly as scared as you were.
I was annoying, probably, I could imagine.
It was just a little bit. You were embarrassing at first when you came in with that mask, looking like a child.
You know, there are some states you have to wear a mask.
Not when you're eating.
Well, I took it off when I ate. I didn't suck at the fabric.
I don't think even in most restaurants, people are sitting there in the mask until the food comes, and then they put the mask back on. So I think
anything to cover up that 70s stash.
What is going on with this? You've got a straight up hustler stash.
I don't know. I shaved. I screwed up trimming the beard. So I shaved it all off. And then I usually leave the mustache on to annoy my wife. Hate it. And then I will shave it off.
I was going to say, who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't love that? I like the way it, you know, goes all the way around. It's very Yosemite-ish.
It's more of a Thurman Munson thing, if you know who that is. I'm going for the Thurman Munson look. He died in 1980, 79.
Don't know Thurman Munson, but I bet he had food in his mustache.
He probably did. He was a catcher for the New York Yankees.
Oh, okay.
70s.
Well, that's why I wouldn't know. But you'll have to put his mustache up beside yours so we can really get a good side-by-side comparison.
It's all in my quest to lose weight and look exactly like Marc Maron. I want to look like Marc Maron. I want to have his money.
Grumpy. Oh, yeah. You don't want to have his problems. You know, he's very sad.
I know he's very sad. And it's terrible what's happening in his life right now. The horrible shit he's had to deal with on top of this stupid fucking virus that won't seem to go away, no matter how hard we ignore it.
Resurgence. That's what it is with this virus. It's always a resurgence.
It's like a phoenix. As soon as it burns out, it rises from the ashes to infect us all and keep us in our homes with our little stupid victory gardens that aren't very good.
I was going to go and like look for a new work top or something yesterday afternoon. Just something to
make
me care about being alive anymore. And exactly. So I'm going to the store, and last week, the masks, it seemed like they were halvesies, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess since all the new numbers have come out, you know, that, especially Gwinnett County where I'm at, now it's got the highest number of COVID cases. Everywhere I looked, everybody had masks on. It was hot as shit and people were everywhere with masks. And I was just like, I don't want to do this. No. I just don't care. I'll just wear the same old rags that I have until this is over.
Fucking Amazon and Target, they all deliver. Speaking of the resurgence, you know, there's a thing going around. It's a viral thing going around. If you go to Google or DuckDuckGo or Bing and you type in a 3-digit number and follow it with the words new cases, and then you hit enter, you'll get a news story from some city that has that exact number. And it works for any 3-digit number. It's weird. So, of course, the conspiracy nuts are all saying that, oh, it's all fake and Google's got an algorithm, blah, 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 blah. But I was terrified. But I got over it in the food.
You did.
I just chilled the fuck out. But for the next couple of days, you know, I had yard work done on Friday afternoon. By the way, Jeff, how's your victory garden?
Good.
What are you growing?
Tomatoes.
Yeah? How many you got?
Zero.
Okay, you really growing tomatoes?
No.
Oh, well, that sucks. You should. It's easy. You got a porch.
So?
You can use your own poop as fertilizer. All right, I'm getting off track here. So I got the lawn graded. You know what that means? They bring in like a bobcat and they take all the – I think they took about 15 years worth of old pine needles. So it was about a foot thick. And it was mold in there, old mold and crap. And I breathed all that in because I was sitting outside all day. And it got me stuffed up because mold and allergens and shit like that bother me. So all day Saturday, I'm like, do I have it now? Do I have it now? What's wrong with me? I'm gonna check my temperature. I checked my temperature like 16 times Saturday, and then about 16 more on Sunday. I went out to my dad's for Father's Day, and we all hung out. And I'm like, I should wear my mask in this house, shouldn't I? So I was a little paranoid, but I'm over it now.
Well, I told you that when I went to bed Thursday night, I started getting paranoid. How I'd made such a big deal about you being a complete Mary that you wanted to wear this mask. And then I was laying in bed till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just thinking to myself, oh, we've all got COVID. And here I've made fun of Tim. Now we've all got it. That's probably what's happening right this very moment.
That is why I don't make fun of the virus, because the virus is full of Schadenfreude. And if you make fun of it, you will get it.
I think that's as good a theory as any that I've heard, Tim.
Your phone knows. I mean, the Chinese own every app on your phone, so they know. Okay, we're going to give it to them now. I almost did the voice. Can you believe that? And I had the wherewithal to not do that. Isn't that awesome? I'm so proud of myself that I'm posted all that. Post all that. But I almost did. It was in my head, and I'm like, nah, like, it was a split second.
It's a new you. It's a new era.
Yeah.
Tucker's getting that 5G, so you better watch out.
Where's the tower going to be?
Right by your house.
All right. I can't wait to knock it down because I'm crazy and I think that towers give me diseases.
I got 5G. I've got 5G. 5G.
What? What are you going to say? Go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
People are stupid who burn those up. 5G is going to spread the disease. No, it's not stupid. It may kill some birds and some insects, but, you know, if that means you can look at your iPhone faster, I think it's a nice sacrifice, don't you?
Sure. I think anything that makes anything faster.
Except sex. Okay, so Jeff has an image behind him, and I'm going to ask him about that in a second. You have Brody, I believe his name is?
And no.
No.
The sheriff was Brody.
Yeah, that's Slippy. What was his name?
That was not his name. That's Slippy. It's Richard Dreyfuss, and I forget the name. Yeah, Matt Hooper.
Matt Hooper. Yes, exactly. Yeah, because it was the 45th anniversary of Jaws this past weekend.
45th. Holy crap!
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
45 years.
45 years and crap and Jaws and whatnot.
And that movie holds up, though. I mean, holds up. You can watch it. It's, you know, if you've never even seen it, you can watch it right now and be completely satisfied, I think.
Shark is fake looking.
Well.
Not like Megalodon, the Meg.
That was very CGI'd. I didn't think that looked real at all.
I didn't see it.
Spielberg could go back and like CGI up that movie, like do a special George Lucas kind of edition.
Yeah, but he doesn't hate his fans like George Lucas does. I'm going to go back and put all these little stupid things in it that nobody cares about.
Fixed up the shark digitally?
Nah, don't do that. It's fine the way it is.
It is fine, but...
It's less about the shark and more about when you can't see
it. I know. The shark's not even in it that much.
Right.
But when he is, they could fix him up digitally.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a sense of dread. That was what's so great about Jaws. Right.
You know, I knew the SNL sketch before I knew Jaws.
Oh, so, really?
The land shark, when they first did it. And John Belushi was playing the
Candy Graham.
Hooper character. Yeah, the Dreyfuss character. Candy Graham. Mrs. Sarlin.
No, I'm a dolphin.
Yeah, No, that's not true, man. I'm a dolphin. Oh, well, in that case. So, Jeff, you have behind you, and again, in order to see this, you'll have to go to our Radio Labyrinth YouTube page, but you have what appears to be some sort of bioengineered half turtle, half monster.
It's Brian Silverback's Loggerhead comic book, which comes out this week.
That's right. Where can you get it? Do you know?
Comic book shops. Probably order it online also. And I'm waiting to see on Wednesday if you can digitally download it from Comixology. Brian, he wasn't sure if it was coming out this week.
It's cool, man. I think his artwork is really cool. That thing is scary as shit, but
it's badass.
Yeah. I don't mean scary like I'm going to run and hide, but you know what I mean. It's cool. Cool.
I like the teeth inside of the beak.
Yeah.
The teeth inside of the beak.
Because like he'll get you up close and take a chunk out of you, or he'll get you on the back flap with a snap. Snap some shit and break it.
Get you on the back flap.
Yeah. Give me some back flap. You get a nice chomp or a crunch.
Oh, So it's about to rain here.
I'm here.
Thunder in here. Can you hear it through the microphone?
No.
Yeah, it's thunder in here too.
Hopefully it won't knock us out anytime soon. So what else is going on? I don't really have anything to talk about beyond that. If you want to talk about some of the shit that's in the news.
No, I don't.
Nah.
You don't?
Not at all.
Why not? No, not the real shit that's in the news. The stuff in the dock.
Oh, you mean like entertain? Oh, I thought you meant like real
news. No, no.
Oh, you mean like stuff that we care about.
Yeah, I heard there was only 600 real people at the Trump rally.
There were 10 real people and the rest were digital.
No, the rest were actors and Trump staffers. That's what I heard.
I don't believe any of that. I just believe people were scared.
Well, I'm sure they'll use it as a little bit of a test run for the Emmys, because according to Jimmy Kimmel, they're going to have them.
As yeah, do you think he'll be the host?
He is going to host them.
Yeah, now.
They don't know where they're going to do it, so maybe they'll have it in Jimmy's backyard, and they'll only invite the winners.
Well, he'll be nice and rested.
Yeah, he should be anyway.
Because he won't be working all summer long the rest of the year.
He's just probably out there making stuff in that pizza oven all the time.
Yes.
That's what I would assume.
Speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, he's on the latest Regular Guys Review podcast, if that sort of thing floats your boat. You can find it.
Is it back? Is it when he was on The Man Show still?
No. Larry interviewed him like a week or two ago. And it's I can't wait to look. I have it in my queue. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to hear that.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, keep going. So they don't know where they're going to have it. And is there any point in even having it? Why can't they just do it online or just stream it live? Who cares?
Jimmy cares.
Right.
I mean, and they're bumping the Academy Awards. Those aren't going to be held until April 25th of 2021.
Another thing I don't care about. I don't care about 8
weeks movies. Later than planned. I know. Most of these shows, like, nobody really watches this crap anymore. So, I mean, what does it really matter? And, of course, the British Academy Film Awards, they'll be shifting also, so make sure that you are prepared to February 2021. We'll have to wait for that.
It doesn't have to do with the Americans are doing.
They moved that Bert Kreischer show to the April 2021.
Really?
Well, I care about that. That sucks.
Bert's just been drinking and floating down a river for like the past several weeks is what it seems like. Gotta be the life. Well, I don't know if you guys heard Michael Imperioli on Joe Rogan's podcast this past week.
I did. All 3 hours of it.
Oh, what am I saying? Of course you did. So did you enjoy the story they told about James Gandolfini threatened to beat the shit out of Harvey Weinstein?
Imperioli didn't tell it. It was Sharipa who told it. But it really got blown out of proportion on the social media, because what he was talking about is, yeah, you said he was... He's going to beat the fuck out of him. Harvey Weinstein wanted him to appear on a talk show to promote a movie that he was doing. And he kept annoying Gandolfini. And apparently Gandolfini didn't like doing interviews, didn't like doing talk shows. I think the one thing he did was 60 Minutes. So he said, if he calls me again, I'm going to beat the shit out of him. The amount of money he's paying me, I'm not going to do it. So that's what it was. It wasn't about...
It had nothing to do with...
Harvey. Being a
creep. It had nothing to do with the women.
Right.
No, I know, and it wasn't that. I knew he hadn't Me Too'd. It wasn't about a Me Too situation or whatever, but I thought it was interesting that Gandolfini did say that.
Oh, yeah.
When Harvey was at the height of his Harveyness, you know, I mean, it was kind of a big deal for him to still say that kind of shit, that he's going to beat his fucking ass. Obviously, he didn't do it.
No, didn't Brad Pitt beat him up or hit him or punch him?
He threatened to kill him.
Okay. Some actor did punch him or try to fight him, and I can't remember. It's in that podcast, but it slipped my mind. So
I just don't. That's the thing about Brad is that was the movie they were on, was Killing Them Softly. Gandolfini had a small, wonderful role in that movie.
All right.
And Weinstein was producing that Brad Pitt movie. That's what kills me about Brad, is like back in 1995, he threatened to kill him because he knew what he had done to Gwyneth, but he just kept doing movies with him.
Yeah, they all did. They all did. They all knew. They all did.
Yeah.
All did. So.
But anyway, anywho's it. But, you know, here's what else is cool. I don't know. Have you guys started watching Solar Opposites yet on Hulu?
No, I need to. I watched the first one, but I haven't watched any more.
Well, you know, that's Dan Harmon's other show.
Right.
So it has, you know, and it has very much the feel to it of being a Dan Harmon show, a lot like Rick and Morty, and but different in a lot of ways too. So I guess he inked a big fat deal with Fox, and he's going to be producing a new animated series for them that'll be premiering spring 2022. But have no idea what it is. He has no inclination. I'm hoping that it's going to be something to not do with space at all. I'm not sure. But, and also, you know, he gets away with quite a bit on Cartoon Network with Rick and Morty, and especially now on Hulu with Solar Opposites. You know, he's going to have to, I mean, Family Guy's out there. American Dad was too, but he's really still going to have to rein it in to be on a Fox comedy. So, anyway, don't know if you guys are looking forward to that, but
I'm not.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. And
but I'm excited that you guys are. How about that?
I mean, I was kind of excited about it. I was also excited, just a little side note, I was very excited. You know that show that I loved, Sherman's Showcase, that I told you guys? It's like a Soul Train mockumentary or whatever. Very funny. The lead dude, that Bashir Salhudden, is hysterical. He actually, their Black History Month special last week was, it was great. It was so funny. But he got renewed for a season two on AMC. So they made the jump from IFC to AMC. They're going to be running them on both networks. That's so cool. That tells you, yeah, it's very cool. I really wish people would get into the show because I'm telling you, it is so good.
Where can you watch it? Because that interests me.
Oh, right now it's on IFC. You can watch the reruns of it. I'm telling you, watch the Black History special from last Friday. Tears. I'm not even kidding you. It's so, he does such a great job with actually making things funny.
Cool.
Yeah.
What a strange concept. But to back to your Dan Harmon thing real quick. I'm not going to watch it because of him. I don't think Rick and Morty isn't for me. So I never really liked it. So I'm not interested in watching any of his other stuff. That's why. There's no
controversial proclamation.
No, it's not controversial to me. I just don't get it. I'm like, okay, they're gross.
I'll say the first couple episodes, it took me a minute to get into it. Like the way Rick is always burping, that bothered me. But then I just got used to it. There's so many other funny things about it. And some of the episodes are brilliant. I mean, they really are brilliant when you watch them. Really, a lot of them are based in all kinds of deep scientific theory.
When I'm in a home, hopefully 40 years from now, I'll watch it.
You'll break it out.
Yeah.
Well, what about Karate Kid Part 3 since they're moving it to Netflix, yo?
You mean Cobra Kai?
Yeah. You don't have to watch it on YouTube anymore, which I didn't have it last season. So I missed season 2. So it's for season 3, they're going to Netflix.
That's cool.
I think it's very cool. And that also means I would imagine that they're going to throw probably 1 and 2 on there as well. Wouldn't you think?
Yep, that would be nice. They can just skip 3 and they can skip the next Karate Kid. Those two movies are both garbage.
Well, I didn't. Jeff, did you watch season 2 of Cobra Kai?
I mean, DVD.
Oh, that was it. What did you think of the 2? Was it as good as 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 was really good. They're both really good. They're good watches. You can watch them again, too, after you go through all of them.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering if there's going to be any difference in the production quality or anything like that with them going to Netflix. I mean, Hulu's got plenty of dough and all that kind of stuff. But
have they shot it yet?
No, it does not look like they shot it yet.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll get some more money from Netflix.
Well, and for all my people that are looking forward to getting out and mixing up their spits and whatnot out in public, the Music Midtown is not going to be the place to do that this year.
Atlanta's Music Midtown canceled.
No. I mean, they did have strong pre-sale, which told them that people really wanted to come to this, but just ultimately they had too many artists back out and cancel their tours for the rest of the year.
Look,
so
nothing is going to happen. There's not going to be baseball. There probably won't be basketball. There might be football. I don't know. I doubt it. So I think the only thing there's going to be really is hockey because they can do it up in Canada, right? And there won't be, like, they do the whole season of hockey in Edmonton and Alberta. They won't have to deal with the coronavirus as badly as, you know, states down here would have to. So that would be cool. I guess everybody will just love hockey again.
I'm just getting into that marble racing.
Marble racing? What's that?
Yeah. That's a new sport of the future.
Oh, okay.
They race marbles.
Oh, really? Racing marbles.
Yeah.
I hope it's as exciting as shooting marbles, which is.
It is. Look it up. They got people doing like play by play and shit. It's awesome.
I want you guys to meet me at the playground and let's get some jacks going.
What? Oh.
Let's get a game of jacks going.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know you could play that.
I mean, I've never really known how to play it. You bounce a ball, you pick some shit up.
We're in different, going different directions.
Hey, okay. I was talking about a childish game.
I mean, I've jacked in a lot of parks.
You look like it with that mustache.
He really does. And like he's yanked it on a lot of people, too.
How you doing? Hey, you mind if I finish?
So 70s. But anyway, the headliners, they were supposed to be My Chemical Romance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know you're.
What am I going to do with my marching band outfit?
I know you're.
I'll have to stay slim so it fits next summer.
Well, maybe Jared Leto will come out from his band of eyeliners and I can't remember the name of his band. But anyway, so we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait till 2021 for that business. But that's really all the things that I want to talk about. That's it. That's all.
Do you want to talk about Inuit ice cream being canceled?
No, I didn't. But you go right ahead.
Eskimo pies. I hate Eskimo pies, so it doesn't affect me at all. So we can just move on.
Isn't that dirty too?
What?
Isn't an Eskimo pie dirty?
Eskimo, I don't know. I don't know.
I think that means something nasty.
It's just a Klondike bar on a stick, right?
Yeah, and Klondike bars also suck.
What?
It's just vanilla ice cream with a thin layer of fake chocolate around it.
They're always gone so fast. It's, you bite into it and then it's over.
Yeah.
I need a whole big Klondike, just a big old square of it. Why don't they ever give you that?
The only funny thing about Klondike bars, what would you do for a Klondike bar? Would you kill a guy? Isn't that from Family Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. From an early season, would you kill a guy?
Yep.
I wouldn't for a Klondike, but I would for a drumstick.
I like those buddy bars they have at Dairy Queen. That's the bomb.
Buddy or dilly bars?
No, I like the buddy bar with the nuts and peanut butter in it.
Oh, I've never had one of those. Is that your incarnation?
Oh, they're good. They're good, good, good.
I've only had a dilly bar.
I've had a billy bar.
Dilly. It's a dilly bar. You know, it's a circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had those.
Anyway, it's a classic.
So, you mind me stepping in here real quick?
Mr. President, I need your soothing tones.
Yeah, do you miss me?
So bad. I know very bad.
I know you do. You got my old walrus buddy. He's in trouble. Wrote a book full of stuff, and he wants you to buy it. So, I guess go buy his book. I'm going to wait for the Hulu series. Anyhow, I'm here to talk about a couple of somber things. Two people passed away big in Hollywood. First one was actor Ian Holm, who was 88 years old. You recognize him as Bilbo Baggins from the Lord of the Rings movies. And I thought he did a good job as Bilbo. He's also in that Johnny Depp movie about Jack the Ripper. I forget what that's called. Is it called Johnny Depp as Jack the Ripper?
I think it's called Bloody Streets.
I don't think it's called Bloody Streets. Isn't Cameron Diaz a hooker in that?
She is in a terrible actress.
Well, I know
it's
that.
Cameron Diaz, it's Heather Graham.
Same thing.
Heather Graham has bigger cans.
She does, and she's been tied up and abused in movies more often than Cameron Diaz.
And she's also stomped somebody in her head with a roller skate.
I did see that movie. Boy, I love that. You know what my worst memory of Boogie Nights is?
What's that?
Is that Burt Reynolds was robbed for the Oscar. You know, they ended up giving it to Mork from Mork. And I was pretty upset about that. Because, I mean, anyway. But getting back to the Ian Holm, he was also in Alien, which is a great movie. And Fifth Element, which is also a funny movie. I like space movies.
What is it? Why do you like space movies so much?
Well, I like Fifth Element because it's like a space movie, but Bruce Willis is in it, so it's kick ass.
You like Bruce Willis, obviously.
And they have that guy with the weird eye. He's president. He was Zeus in the Hulk Hogan movie. Don't you remember? Anyway, and then rest in peace to Joel Schumacher. That guy directed a whole ton of movies. He did the two Batman movies after the first two good ones. He did the two after that, the third one.
which was okay. And then he did the one with George Clooney and the nipples. Nobody likes that one.
That's the Lost worst. Boys.
Yeah, he did Lost Boys. That's my favorite 80s movie. Let me tell you, folks, Lost Boys, the Frog Brothers. My goodness, Edward Herrmann is the lead vampire. You didn't have Keanu, but you had Kiefer. And you either had Keanu or Kiefer. And that made your movie cool as shit.
What's your favorite line from the Lost Boys?
All the goddamn vampires.
My favorite line from that is, hey, I'm a vampire. I'm that one half of the Corys, and we've got to fight these vampires, and let's go fight them. And then, that. So, rest in peace, Joel Schumacher.
Thank you, Mr. President.
He's gone.
It makes those tough blows just so much easier to handle.
I guess he makes it easy to, I don't know, he assuages the horror that is the passing of somebody that you don't know. You guys want to talk about 1998?
Yes. Yes, for the love of God, yes.
My favorite thing about June of 1998 is I was not yet president. I was the governor of Texas. And I was getting ready to run, and I was trying to find a way to position myself as a compassionate conservative.
Did you still own the Rangers at that point?
I did not. I sold my interest in the Rangers when I became the governor in 1994.
Oh, okay.
I beat Ann Richards, that old bag. She said I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Well, I took it out and scooped away victory from her old crotchety ass. Starting to thunder here.
Same anyway. Here.
Yeah, so the rest of the summer, I thought we would look back on different years from our lives. We at least have 40 and or more. Jeff and I may be closer to 50. Actually, Jeff is 50. I will be 50. And Steph, you're what, 42?
Yep.
Yep, see? So last week we did June of 1995, and we bumped it up a little bit. June 1998. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that went on then, the movies, the music, and I guess some of the TV shows. I didn't really, you know, TV is all year long, and still in 98, you were in that era of when, okay, well, this month is just all reruns and then some reality shows that are terrible because they hadn't really gotten the reality shows right yet back in 98. But you had, I guess the biggest thing so far of 1998 or June 14th, the Chicago Bulls won their sixth NBA title in 8 years. They beat the Utah Jazz in game 6, and it was Michael Jordan's last game as a Chicago Bull. And he clinched.
You just totally blew the ending of The Last Dance for me. I hadn't watched the last episode yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know they won 6.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, The Last Dance. I'm 3 episodes into that. It's such a good show.
It's good.
I'm kind of like binging it now. But he clinched the game. He had a fadeaway jumper, and that was it. And I believe that was the last time, because a year later, I did a commercial for WLS. No, ESPN Radio in Chicago. I did a TV commercial, and they were all bummed that Jordan was gone. And the line from the commercial was, Tony Kukoc is going to be the go-to. And that's how you knew they were never going to win another final.
I'm going to name my next dog Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc. I met him. He was at Benihana. Remember when there was, it's still there, but there's a Benihana in South Buckhead right near Midtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went there for dinner one day, and I looked over and went, hey, aren't you Tony? No, my brother Jason was with me, and he was just visiting, and he looked over and he went, hey, that's Tony Kukoc, man.
Is it Kukoc or Kukoc?
Kukoc.
Okay.
That's how I've heard it pronounced. He's Serbian, I believe, or Croatian, or Bosnian.
It's a great name.
Or Montenegrin.
Either way.
I don't know.
It's a dashing name.
Yeah, also Windows 98 came out, the first edition of came out in 1998, and I still like 95 better. So 98 was the worst of all of them. XP came out after 98, and that was a good one. But Jeff's always been a Mac guy. I was still using PCs exclusively back then, and I hated Windows 98. I wouldn't upgrade until XP came out.
I just upgraded to 98.
You did not, Jeff. What do you have, a 4... what was those laptops that were?
It's an Acer Pro.
Uh-huh.
1997.
It took you a half an hour to download a picture of Julianne Margulies.
Why? From What am I downloading pictures of Juliana Margulies for?
I don't know. I'm just saying that if that's what you were doing.
From the abyss, or I can't remember what the hell would she be in. No, I'm thinking of Marianne Mastrantonio.
She's not in the abyss. She would be like 15 or something. Some of the big movies from 1998, this month in 1998. Most of them. Starting it off, The Truman Show, which I believe Ron Howard directed. Am I right? Let me jump in.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I don't know, but it was an interesting movie. It really it was pre like where we are now, but we all kind of live this life now, you know. Except we're aware that people are watching this and don't give a shit. This is a guy who was put in a place, and it was a whole thing set in like the bucolic world where everything was 1958 or whatever. And what did you guys think of the Truman Show? Did you like it?
Peter Weir directed
Truman. Peter Weir. Yeah, not the guy I said directed
it. I thought it was all right. What did you think?
At first, the first time I saw it, I thought it was very pandering. And I didn't like... Laura Linney is in it, correct?
As the wife?
Yeah, Laura Linney, Jim Carrey, Ed Harris.
Yeah. Ed Harris was the director. His best friend was that Noah guy, Noah Emmerich, who I really like. So I liked him in it. What's that?
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, Giamatti was in it too. It's really definitely a mid to late 90s kind of film. Obviously, none of us remember anything about it. But I remember, to answer your question, I didn't like it when I first thought. I thought it was pandering and stupid. Same thing I felt about Forrest Gump the first time I saw it. But on subsequent views, it is a nice, touching film, I think. Nothing spectacular, but nothing terrible either. Now, the next movie, 6 Days, Seven Nights, I hate it, and I thought it was stupid. And we can't say what we used to call it, or we'll lose our show. But it was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Agreed. I couldn't even get through it.
No, Ian Hache. Oh, God. Oh, we crashed. Well, the only piece of reality in it is, what is it? Harrison Ford crashed a plane. And so he's pretty doing shit like that. Oh, I got a plan. Mulan came out in June of 1998. Mulan is a very good movie. Now there's going to be a live action one, unless it's already come out. I don't know, but yeah,
it's coming out.
Yeah.
I think they pushed it back to maybe Christmas.
Yeah. Well, they want people in seats. That's a movie you want to take your kids to and not sit in your living room where you've been for the last 3 months. Oh, let's watch another fucking movie.
Boring.
Oh, you didn't like Mulan?
No.
Why?
I don't really like Disney movies. I think I already told you guys that.
Yeah.
I like Pixar movies, but I don't really like Disney animated classics. None of them.
Speaking of which, you know that Disney or whatever they have, or was it HBO Max? One of them has all the Warner Brothers cartoons. Is it HBO Max?
Yeah, HBO Max.
Yeah, but on Disney, they don't have the old shorts of Mickey Mouse and all those old Disney cartoons, and no one knows why. I didn't like them. They're not any more racist than the Warner Brothers cartoons were. I don't know why. I never liked Mickey Mouse when I was a kid. I didn't like the Mickey Mouse Club. I didn't like the cartoons. I didn't care. And I liked the Warner Brothers. They're more subversive. So anyway, I just find that interesting that they're not out there. The next movie that came out in June of 1998 was The X-Files, which I did enjoy because I was a huge fan of the show. And I liked the movie. The sequel sucked, but the X-Files movie was good.
Yeah, they came through on that one.
They what?
They came through on that one. I think everybody was pleased with the movie.
Yeah.
If you were a fan of the show.
They revealed the aliens, spoiler alert, and it was cool. And, you know, there was a story between those two, and there were bees. Can't go wrong with bees. So,
ooh,
Dr. Doolittle came out. I like Dr. Doolittle. It was a funny little film. Little Eddie Murphy movie.
This recent one.
Of course, the one that just came out, nobody saw it. And there was no point in it. I mean, Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy was a very funny movie. It was right in, it was at the end of the Clump era, like post Clumps, where he was still doing funny movies.
Right.
Before Shrek. Out of Sight, which is one of those, God, who's the guy that writes all those books? God, I'm having a bad time thinking of shit right now. And it makes me very, very sad.
Patterson?
No. Out of Sight was based on characters like the Get Shorty and
what's his face, the dude that did Justified and all that.
Yeah. So the cool thing, Elmore Leonard. So you know, it's a God, who's in it? It's George Clooney,
Jennifer Lopez,
and it's a fun movie. And it was directed by Steven Soderbergh, so that's why it has a weird feel compared to the other kind of Elmore Leonard movies. But both Michael Keaton and the other actor, I forget his name, play the same characters in Get Short. No, in Jackie Brown, they play the same characters. Jackie Brown is also Elmore
Leonard. Right.
And then lastly, Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald, Artie Lyons came out. Chevy Chase, of course, directed by Bob Saget. And one of the greatest film appearances of all time by Don Rickles, You Baby Gorilla.
Is that movie needs to be streaming somewhere. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know where it is. We'll have to find out. If you can find out right now, we'll shout it out. But I saw that with one other person in a theater in Century City in Los Angeles because we were out there for a convention. And it was opening weekend. It was me and one other person, and that was pretty sad.
You can buy it on Amazon.
But you can't stream it, right?
I don't know if you can watch it for free.
Yeah. But I loved it when I went and saw it. And that same weekend, I met Ray Manzarek from The Doors, who was the keyboardist. I met Dick Clark at the party where I met. It was Dick Clark's party. And I met him and Ray Manzarek. And I also almost knocked Olivia Newton-John over in an elevator, which I've told that story before. I wasn't paying attention, and I just barreled into the elevator, and I bumped into her, and she fell back a little bit. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, you're Olivia Newton-John. Hello.
I thought you'd be like, you got to believe this is magic.
I just started screaming Xanadu at her.
I got chills. They're multiplying.
Sorry about that. You know, rocking and rolling on the elevator and whatnot. Those are the movies that came out in June of 1998.
God, what a crap year for movies.
Not the whole year.
Well, June.
June kind of. Yeah, the summer movies kind of blew. The one album that came out, we'll talk about some of the songs that were popular, but the album that came out that was a classic was Billy Bragg and Wilco's Mermaid Avenue, which, you guys know the story behind that album?
Nope.
Do you like Billy Bragg and or Wilco at all?
Yeah, they're all right.
What Jeff said.
Okay. So when Woody Guthrie was dying in a hospital, Bob Dylan went to see him in the hospital a lot. And Woody Guthrie said, you know, I have a box of unrecorded songs and poems. And if you go to my house, you can have them and record them. So Bob Dylan walked to his house, which was far away. It was somewhere in New York, walked to his house, knocked on the door. A young Arlo Guthrie answered the door, and they proceeded to look for this box of songs. Well, they were not found, never found. And eventually they were found and given to Billy Bragg and Wilco. Billy Bragg, I believe, and Wilco to record them. And if Bob Dylan had found them back in the early 1960s, we never would have had Mermaid Avenue from Billy Bragg and Wilco. So there's your little story.
That was a good little actual tidbit there.
I got that by reading Bob Dylan's biography that came out, narrated by Sean Penn. Some of the hit songs from 1998, you had Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing from that horrible movie about the comet or whatever. No, that was the asteroid movie, wasn't it?
Armageddon?
Yeah. I don't want to miss a thing. There was there was also a country version that sucked.
Yes.
Lauryn Hill had a great song called Doo-Wop That Thing. That's a good song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Boy, Steph, we're just missing everything here. Beastie Boys Intergalactic was a huge song. That's a great song. Bare Naked Ladies 1 Week came out. Semisonic's Closing Time. Britney Spears Baby One More Time. Jay-Z Hard Knock Life Ghetto Anthem. This is my least favorite song of the entire summer, probably in the last 30 years. Lenny Kravitz Fly Away.
It's really boring.
I hate that song.
It's such a bad song.
Goo Goo Dolls' Iris. And Dixie Chicks' There's Your Trouble, which was a single off of their hit album.
How did Iris go? Yeah,
well, I don't want the world.
God, yes.
I don't think they understand. You know, they were a punk band before they became.
What? Well,
they were a huge punk band. I think they're from Buffalo, New York, either Buffalo or
you're a Bills fan, you got to be a Goo Goo Dolls fan.
Yeah, they're from Buffalo, and they were a punk band. And before they broke big, Paul Westerberg produced an album for them, and they sounded just like Paul Westerberg. And then the next album came out, and they just had hit after hit for a short amount of time.
Yeah, we're going to let it slide. And that was
slide into my room. Run away, run away.
I won't tell no one your name.
Yeah, but their earlier punk records are good if you're into that kind of music. The Dixie Chicks, I liked a lot that summer. Jeff oddly got me into them. I was making fun of him for listening to them, and then I listened to them, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. Lenny Kravitz, hit and miss. Jay-Z, I pretty much like anything he puts out. And Britney Spears, didn't like that song. Who did? You weren't a 12-year-old girl.
You liked the video, though.
Well, of course, every guy liked the video. Semisonic, I don't like that song. Closing Time, that's when alternative music took a very sad turn into the adult contemporary world. Semi-charm kind of life, baby. Bare Naked Ladies, I liked 1 week. I used to like Bare Naked Ladies a lot. Jeff hates them now because they ripped them off.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of Intergalactic? Did you like that?
I love that whole album.
Yeah?
I put that on my playlist for Road Tonks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cool. Steph, you get to pick the month or and year of next week because you're not liking anything so far. What?
That is not true. I just... 1998 was the June of 98 was weak for music and movies. It was just weak. Yeah. All right. But I will do that. I will pick up that gauntlet and I will. Yes.
All right then.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, we got to talk about, since we're talking music and shit like that, we're going to talk about our On the Road Cruising playlist, which you can be a part of if you are a Radio Labyrinth Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and find out how to become a Radio Labyrinth patron and get some of your songs in. We didn't have to do 98. I saw a couple of you. I saw that you two each picked a song from 98. I'll get rid of mine real quick. When I moved down here in 1996, I had a lot of time to kill going back and forth. I didn't have a CD player in my car or air conditioning. And so we're talking about summer and I'm going back and down, up and down, all 81, 85, 75 or whatever, 77. And so I just had a bunch of cassettes and I still have most of those cassettes, which is kind of cool. I had a bunch of curated Howard Stern cassettes that I had made with different bits and everything. But, you know, there's no songs on those except for the Janicean parody of Seinfeld dating a 17-year-old. You ever heard that?
I don't think so.
You know, the Janicean song?
At 17.
That's an old folk song from the 60s.
Those of us with ravaged faces.
Okay. She was ugly, whatever, Yeah. But the song she came on Howard and recorded was Seinfeld's girl is 17 and innocent with double D's. He saw those jugs and flipped his lid for a real young busty high school kid. And she actually sang it. Anyway. That doesn't matter. I listened to Brooks and Dunn's My Maria all the time because that was on the radio and I was in the country still sort of back then, pop country. On cassette, I also had Van Morrison's Astral Week, so I played that back and forth. And Weird Al's Amish Paradise.
Oh, that was a fun time. That was a fun, whole album was great.
Yeah, I love that album. So those are my songs for this week.
Oh, I liked all of them.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure you like that I didn't try and play a clip after each time when you said something.
To be honest, I really did enjoy that there was no clip.
That's fine. I could read. I read the room, Tim. I could tell last time you were like, that's enough of that.
Can I tell you one thing, though? I appreciate the effort. I really, really do. And I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. It just doesn't sound good.
That's fine. No, I understand. I get it.
Cool. Maria.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I picked Driver 8 by R.E.M.
Mm-hmm.
Good road song. I picked Cars by Gary Numan.
Not the obvious at all.
No, that's a good car
song. It is.
And Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson.
I didn't know anyone our age liked that song. How does it go? Good.
Road play, cruising. You listen to it, you'll hear it. And I put Intergalactic on there too from Beastie Boys from 98.
Oh, you made me think it was Groovin'. It's not that, right?
Cruising on a Sunday afternoon. Isn't that it? Oh, no.
That's Groovin'.
Baby, let's cruise away from here. That song, right? Okay. All right, then. Well, Steph? If I could play the clip, maybe we... Anyway.
If I could play the clip, or no.
We'll play clips when we're back in the studio.
Yeah. When is that ever going to be? Like, ever? I don't know.
2021.
Anywho,
now will be fine.
All of my cruising tracks, I picked all from 98.
Okay.
This was all stuff that I was, what was I riding around in at that point? A 91 Escort, a 91 white four-door.
Yeah.
Always started. Bitch always turned over. I don't care if it was sub-zero, negative 20, that car would start up. But anyway. My cruising tracks, if you recall a little jam by Warren G and Nate Dogg called Nobody Does It Better.
I recall that very well.
It was a great song. Nobody does it better. Anyway, that was a great song. I don't have any particular reason. These were all just songs that I kind of just rode around and listened to at this time. This one is like a guilty pleasure song. I wouldn't say that I ever owned an album by them totally or at all. But the band Fuel, do you recall them?
That song is super catchy, right?
It's one of those earworms.
Yeah, how does it start off real quick?
Drink champagne, drink. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not dreaming.
Yep. Lavender and something. Anyway. So
they did a fan show for us at a small place when I was at 96 Rock and played that song.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then my third one is The Downtown by Days of the New. It's another one of those that just kind of gets in your head. You know, the bring me up, bring me down. Yes. Yeah.
Every song from that era.
Right. But it's the music from it. It's some riding around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like bubblegum type stuff. But that's my cruising tracks from 98.
All right, we have two submissions this week from Radio Labyrinth patrons. Now, when I posted on there, there's an old line from a Tom Lehrer song that he goes, now let's not always see the same hands. Let's get some more. But, you know, Roby, I will include yours every week. Brian Nix wrote, I am going the Jeff Root with the on-the-nose selections. I left my wallet in El Segundo by A Tribe Called Quest and A Trip of the Illegal Kind Train by Blake Babies. I wore out those discs driving to college. My portable CD player connected with the tape tech adapter with that sweet 5-second anti-skip feature. Driving with my knee on the back roads of Georgia, flipping through the pages of my soft storage case, changing out the discs and trying not to wreck. Good times on the road. Thank you.
Very well written.
Hell yeah.
I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Roby Neely writes, Aldo Nova, life is just a fantasy. Riding in my friend's car with a killer sound system my senior year of high school, we would drive up and down winding hill country roads. We'd put on fantasy, mimic setting up Arsenal during intro. When the blast occurred, we'd pretend we were firing the lasers. As the guitar licked kick in, we would gun it and drive 80 miles per hour through the curves, just feeling the song. God, we were dumb. No, we were kids. Everybody did that. Jeff and I did that. We would drive on dirt roads all night long and try not to hit cats.
Yeah, how can you fight? I mean, come on.
That is a good song. So thank you both. And don't forget, out there, you are welcome to contribute as well. So before we wrap up the show, we'll do our what we watched in our staff picks. If you guys are done with the up.
Yeah.
Steph, why don't you go first? I want to hear about Perry Mason. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it yet.
I watched it. It was good.
All right, cool.
I'm just assuming it's good because all of the reviews that I read were extremely, extremely favorable. So, but you felt like it was very good, Jeff?
Yeah.
I'm
it's very, very, what do you call it? Period.
Noir?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching it. So that's actually my staff pick was the Perry Mason, which it premiered Sunday, June 20th. what I watched this week was, it's on Hulu. It's a movie called Good Boy, and it's with Judy Greer. Oh my God, she's so funny. But it's just one of those goofy Blumhouse horror movies.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's very gory, and okay. she basically gets this cute little emotional support dog, uh-huh. but it's actually a demon. So anytime somebody makes her feel anxiety or stress, it will right. disembowel them, basically. I mean, it kills them in gruesome ways. Right. And it's such a cute little dog. She's very funny in this. I mean, and then like she kind of unravels as it goes along. She starts kind of getting into the whole
she's
killing people.
She's a very good actress, I think.
She was at the vet. I'll just tell you one scene. She's at the vet with the dog, and beside of her is a picture of a giant cat. It's very overweight, and the thing says obesity, and she's holding the dog, and she goes, "God, that cat is fat as fuck."
I'll check that out. I think I would like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thanks, Doug.
That's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu, yeah.
I watched The Five Bloods on Netflix.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It could have used some of that Scorsese anti-aging technology, I think. But other than that, I really enjoyed it.
That was what was throwing me off, is like they were flashing back and Chadwick Boseman was young, but then Delroy Lindo and all those guys were old.
Right.
I'd rather suspend the disbelief with my brain than see horrible CGI. So I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, they could have used a little something, because like Delroy Lindo's got a gray beard.
Yeah.
In 2020, and then they're flashing back to 1970. He's still got the gray beard.
What's wrong with using younger actors?
Right.
Use younger actors to pretend that they're them. I mean, why is that so hard?
You gotta ask
Spike about that. Why he do that? But other than that, if you can get around the fact that it's the same actors in 50 years later than it is in 1970, it's a good movie, and it's like a heist movie, and there's a lot of funny shit in it.
Delroy's a trumper.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, in the show.
Yeah.
Not in real life.
No. Well, I don't know if he is in real life or not, but in this, you know, they're all Vietnam vets getting together. Oh, okay. And they're making fun of him because he's a hardcore Trumper.
There's
like a bunch of gold, and so it turned into like one of those gold fever kind of things.
One thing I like about The Five Bloods is is that it made Spike Lee have to apologize for saying he likes Woody Allen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I like him, I don't think he did it. Oh wait, my show's on Netflix. Okay, yeah, I hate him. Anyway, go ahead.
And Nosferatu season 2 came back. Nobody got into that but me, but I liked season 1, and I liked the book.
The season 2 actually looks better than the season 1. I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe they're gonna learn from some of the mishaps of season 1 and try to make season 2 better, hopefully.
Yeah, it looks more interesting.
I enjoyed season 1, and the book is really good. So I hope they keep with it, because there's a whole bunch of the book that they didn't do in season 1. So season 2, it just started this week on AMC.
I didn't watch anything on TV. I listened to a lot of podcasts. Joe Rogan podcast with Michael Imperioli and Steve Sharipa, which was really, really good. On Ira's suggestion, I started Wind of Change, and it's okay.
I think the CIA wrote that song.
I think the CIA wrote the podcast. my stat pick is it's okay. I like hearing the music and some of the historical stuff, but the guy doing it is annoying the shit out of me.
You never did listen to Son of a Hitman, that one I kept bugging you about Woody Harrelson's dad.
No, I have it in my queue.
It's so good, Tim. I'm telling you, you'll pour right through it. It's awesome.
After I finish this one, I'll get to it. And then my stat pick is, actor. Bob Balaban was on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, and it was a fantastic interview. I really like, that guy. He's always like a studio executive, and he was also in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the French translator. What?
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's been in
it. I haven't listened to that one yet. I saw Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon's kids are on this week.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to check that out. I love Gilbert does a good Matthau. Balaban is the guy on Seinfeld who fell in love with Elaine and went nuts from him.
Not the Barber of Seville, not that one. The clown?
No, it's the guy that's going to give Jerry the show, and then And then he falls in love with Elaine. So they keep, Elaine keeps going out with him. So
the NBC executive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of Pagliacci. Never mind.
Right.
Let's throw. So that's it for me this week. If unless you guys have anything else that you want to talk about.
No, just my Jimmy. He's on his foster to adopt right now. My last foster dog. It looks like it's gonna be a slam dunk. So
yeah, that was a nice, cute family that adopted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog Jimmy is
a little kid and a mom and a dad. Yeah. Looked like a nice home for that dog.
It really is, and they've been looking for a long time because, you know, you're getting an adult dog from a shelter, and you want to make sure it's not going to eat your kids, especially when you have little babies. So they've really been on the hunt for quite a while. So they were absolutely ready for a dog, and Jimmy is just like, if he would see a butterfly in the backyard, he would go over to the butterfly and be like, I mean, he's so gentle. So.
Is he going to change his name to Saul?
I don't think so. You know, they did know whenever I told them that he was named after Slippin' Jimmy McGill, they loved it. I mean, they're a young couple, too. They're only like 28, but they both watch Better Call Saul. So I think they're going to keep it Jimmy. And it's an easy name for the baby because the baby was like, Jimmy.
That's awesome. Good. Yeah. Congratulations.
So anyway, I just wanted to say it's very rewarding. We really need fosters, even if it's for a week, 2 weeks, a weekend, something. Anytime we can get somebody to just hang on to a dog for us for a minute, that would be great. So if you could even consider it, BarkvilleDogRescue.org.
Barkville. Thank you, Steph. Jeff, you have anything else?
No, I'm good. If you get that Loggerhead, Wednesday comes out.
Check out Loggerhead. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to download and listen to Mike TV, which will come out Wednesday. And thank you guys very much for accommodating this weekend. We were usually recorded Saturday afternoon. We recorded on Monday night. So, until next week.
Kata.
Robert. Where that came from. Thank you, guys.